for the good news that you win. And if you win, we win. And we thank you, Lord God, that it is your pleasure and desire that we receive the kingdom, and that you wish all men to be saved, all men to receive the kingdom, but each man must decide for himself or herself. And so we thank you, Lord, that there's no group program. There's only an individual decision as to whether a man will believe in God or not believe in God, or whether he'll believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, or that he is a punisher. And so we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God is good. God is good. Now, I want to say something very strong, meaning you can build your life on it. I'm going to say it right here. Your picture of God determines everything. Your picture of God. Everything. Not some things. Not most things. Everything. If you picture God, and there's only two ways to do it. Either God's good or he's bad. Either he's a liar or he tells the truth. Either God is a loving father who loves sinners, or he's an angry judge who punishes sinners. So, you can live according to the law or according to the gospel. The law would be that you believe that the pressure's on you. You have to do something. There's a command, and you have to obey that command. Call that works. So if you put pressure on yourself to behave, like what they were just announcing about turning America into a socialistic, communistic, welfare type of a state. Now, it already is to a great extent, but that doesn't have to be that way, and the founders didn't set it up that way. The fact that people are doing it, that's what they're doing. And if you're a fool, you'll fall for that. But you have to deny God to do it. So it's an anti-Christian system. It's totally opposed to the gospel. Because under the gospel, every man, woman, and child makes their own decision. You decide whether you think God is good or bad. Now, if he's a bad God, then he gives you commands that you can't possibly fulfill. For example, he'll say, be perfect like I am. How many know that's, except if you're a pastor, that's impossible. Of course, a pastor could do that because he's paid to do it. So I don't like commands because they're hard to fulfill, especially when it's not do the best you can, but be perfect as I am. So that's a really bad idea. And socialism, communism, it's just tribalism. It's just the society eating up the individual, and there is none. They just force you with power, whether it's religious power, whether it's moral suasion, or whether it's physical, you know, force you by some law and then make you do it. You're not free. You're definitely not free. So you're not able to govern yourself as an individual. But our founders set up a government of individual self-government, in other words, answer to God. And if you want to hate your neighbor, that's a choice you make. The government only is supposed to tell you not to love your neighbor, but just don't injure him. Now, that makes you a hypocrite, because you actually don't care about your neighbor. But that's all the law expects, is for you to be imperfect. In other words, the law says be perfect, but it can't help you to be perfect. How many know laws don't help you to become imperfect? There's no possibility. I'm talking about the book of Hebrews right now. The book of Hebrews basically says that under the law, nothing's made perfect. No, you give someone a law, you force them to do something, they will never be perfect. You want to raise your children under the law? They'll never be perfect. You want to have a marriage under the law? It's never going to happen. You want to have a church where everyone's forced to this certain perfect religion or their understanding of it, whatever? You're never going to have true religion. True religion cannot be forced. And happiness, which our government was set up, by the way, for a free people who would freely choose to govern themselves under God, morally, who would then need no law to force them from the outside. And they only came up with a handful of laws originally. Today we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of laws, and that's ridiculous. But only a handful of laws, God only had 10, a handful of laws, two handfuls of laws, that's it. And basically say, be perfect, you know, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, love your neighbor as yourself, and so on. You can sum it up. That's about it. So if you want to live under the law, there's the law. And so that's a way, but this is what the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 says. Chapter 1 says, Jesus Christ is God's Son. Or, Jesus Christ is God. Okay? So we read about that for the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it's been. And now, the second chapter starts out, give heed to what you've just heard. That Jesus came along and gave us a new idea as God's Son. And he revealed the fact that you're not under the law. Why? Because you can't do it. Now, Jesus could do it because he's perfect. But he's not under the law either. He just does it voluntarily. He says, well, you know, I'm not under the law because I'm already holy. I never broke the law. But I'll do it anyway because I want to do it for Paul. I know Paul can't do it because he's imperfect and he's heading in the wrong spot. Because nobody can be perfect. Does everybody admit here that none of you are perfect? In other words, exactly like God. In other words, you're not God. Nor can you be like him. You can't copy him. I think I'll be like God today. Oh, that's funny. Now, some of you have tried. It doesn't work. You make a lousy God. You don't make a good God. You make a devil. When you force people under the law to be like God, what are you going to create? Hypocrites. So the highest this world can ever come to, the highest that man, apart from God, can ever come to, is hypocrite. The lowest is just to be a beast. Why? Because that's what you are. So all you can do is make beasts behave as though they weren't a beast when they are a beast. You know, now some of you have gotten married. That's too bad. Because you're going to be a beast marrying another beast. And it'll come out. It will come out. Now, not during the honeymoon, of course. Well, even some, the honeymoon, it'll come out. This is true of every marriage. I mean, it's sad to say, but you're all as pathetic as I am. I mean, it's sad. Sorry. But anyway, you're marrying another sinner. How many know that all men are born in sin? You're just born that way. Amen? I mean, probably conceived. That's what David said. He was conceived in sin. You know, didn't even wait for birth. And when the little kid comes out, it's total selfish. You know, just total like, take care of me. What's this cold? You know, wipe this stuff off of me. And little kids don't think at all of, how can I help? How can I be of benefit to you? They just come out totally helpless and, you know, wanting everything. You know, you take care of me. Did she come out that way? Yeah. She's still that way. That's amazing. She looks sweet and precious. So, you can always be fooled. Now, so since we're all sinners, Jesus came with another idea, and now we should listen to him. Give heed to this. He decided, since you couldn't keep the law, he would keep it voluntarily on his own for you. And then just give you mercy. Don't you love that? Grace is mercy plus power. The mercy part they had in the Old Testament. I mean, you could sin in the Old Testament, and then you could get a lamb or a turtle dove or bull or something, depending on how much you'd done and how rich you were. If you really wanted to do something, you'd get a bull. You slaughter a bull. There, I'm sorry. This is costing me a bull. A sheep, not too bad. That's kind of the average middle class gift, you know. But if you were really poor, it's a little turtle dove, you know, you could just get one of those. We shoot them here in Texas. But anyway. So they're not worth a lot. So that's a poor man's saying, I'm sorry. I couldn't afford to say it in any better way. Here's a turtle dove. God accepted that. So God's merciful. You can tell God's merciful. You sinned. You have to die. But if you put the turtle dove up or the bull or the sheep or something, you're okay. That'll let you off for a day. But I mean, no, you sin again. Even though he forgives you once, you need it again and again and again. So thank God in the Old Testament says his mercies are new every morning. By afternoon, they're gone, but they're new in the morning. No, I'm joking. That's not true. Now, so God, hey, by the way, where are all the people? How come they're all sleeping in? I'm here. You're here. They need to go to hell. I mean, that's it. They really do. Because they should be here. Isn't God great? He's merciful. See, he's merciful. If they do walk in, don't say anything. Isn't God good? Aren't you having the best life ever? Is this not the best life ever? It's the only one we have, so it's the best life ever. Amen? Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus gave us another deal instead of building off of the cornerstone this direction. He makes a command. You have to do the work. He says, repent of that. Stop that. Change your mind. Don't think like that anymore. I don't want you to do anything. Whew. Boy, that's a religion made for me. Jim, don't do a thing. You'll ruin anything you touch. You know, just leave it. Don't touch it. Don't help me, please. You know, well, I know I did wrong, but I'll fix it. No, Jim, don't try to fix it. I'll forgive you. I'll cover it with the blood. And then I'll give you the Holy Spirit, because otherwise you'll mess up again. How many of you know we need the Holy Spirit? We do. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes from the Holy God, not just forgiving you through the blood, but helping you. And we need help. We need help. That's the way Texans say it. We need help. We need to help you out. I love that. They can't say L. But however you say it, you need help. You need God to give you some help. So here he says, okay, don't worry about it. I'll forgive you. And then just all you have to do is nothing. That's what's called faith. Faith is doing nothing. Faith believes that God did everything so you could do nothing. I love that. That is the kind of religion made for sinners, real, honest-to-goodness people. Because we're all sinful. Even the Bible says that. All have sinned and fallen short. You know, so I've illustrated that 100 times. But, you know, if you jump over the Grand Canyon, then you did good. But most people can't, even at its narrow spot. But there's one place where it's about a mile or something across the way. You can barely see across. But if you let's say you jump out 7 feet, that's not good. But let's say you go 14 feet out, better. And on the way down, you can tell the guy that only went 7. That was poor. And you can feel good until you hit the bottom. Both of you, when you hit the bottom, you'll realize probably wasn't any difference. I probably should have just flopped over, you know, just fallen over the side. Because it doesn't make any difference. If you're not perfect, you don't make it. How many know falling short means you fell short? When the goal, when the purpose is be perfect as God is, it's too high. Maybe God put that up like that, not for you to do, but for you to realize you couldn't do it. Maybe the purpose of the law is to be kind of like a school teacher that trains you to realize you're not good enough. You just can't make it. I mean, that's too much. It's too much. I don't know if a guy could even jump from here over to that other side over there. But it's worth a try. What do you think? I mean, especially if I could get... Whoa, 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 whoa! You see, even at 70, you can do stupid things. So, if you can't make it, you can't make it. And why does God do that? God does that so you realize he can give you a free gift. I'd rather take a free gift than have to pay for it. And then expect God to give me a wage. God don't pay wages. Okay? Never has and never will. Never. So he'll never reward anyone for good works. Remember, there's a group in the last Matthew 21. It says 7:21. It says a lot of people are going to come on the last day and going to say, "Lord, Lord, we did mighty works in your name. We did powerful things. We saved people. We built big churches for you. We had big missions," and so on and so forth. And he's going to say, "Depart from me, you evildoers, I never knew you." No. We did it in your name. We didn't just do it, we did it in your name. We said Jesus each time. I don't know who you are. Why? Because your works don't count before God. You don't go to heaven by your works. Because they're not perfect. They have your fingerprint on it. You remember he said we? The minute you put the we on there, that ruined it. If you'd have kept your mouth shut, you might have got in. But you went in with the, "Hey, look at this, better than her, better than him, better than most. How about a bell-shaped curve on this one?" No, he won't do it. It's an absolute. You got to be perfect. In fact, you got to be Jesus. You got to be exactly like Jesus. If you're exactly like Jesus, then it's acceptable. So Jesus said, "Look, Father, I want to go down there and I want to tell them what you're really like. I don't think they know. They got this law thing, and they feel you're an angry judge. Remember I said the picture that you have of God determines everything. They believe you're an angry judge. They believe you want them to keep the law, and then they're not going to get a wage. You know they're not going to get a wage. Because the only way you can do it is you can't work your way in, so the only way you can do it is just take a free gift. So that's why Jesus came. He died on the cross for you. That was his promise, his love. And you know what? If you don't trust him, don't believe that." And a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't believe in Jesus because they don't trust his word. They don't think that what's written down in the book is really him. They don't believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I don't mean seek him for, you know, getting a wage, but seek him for mercy and power. "God, you do it." I love little kids because little kids are like that. A little kid, you tell them, "You know, you get this room cleaner, you're not going out to play." And then in a few minutes, you see him outside playing. "Hey, whoa, didn't I say clean your room? Get over here. Did you clean your room?" "Yes." You did? "It was a mess." "No, I cleaned it." "Okay, all right." And then you go and you look at their room. "Oh my gosh, it's not even touched." So you bring them in. "Do you call this clean?" "Yeah. You see that blanket was over there? It's over here now. And that toy was right there. I threw it over there toward the box." "Oh, that's not clean." "Well, I did the best I could." "Well, you get in here. You're not going out to play." "Well, Alice is out there." "I know, you're not going out and playing till you get this room cleaned up." "Could Alice come in?" No, you just clean this by yourself. You and Alice will start joking or something. "No, you clean this thing and then you go out." "Well, could you forgive me? Could you forgive me? You don't hate me, do you?" "No, just clean the room up." "Well, could you do it for me?" Oh, I tell you. You see, you need his mercy, then you need his help. Do you see that? That's a Jesus thing. And a good mother. A good mother would do that. "Okay, sweetheart, you just go out and play. Mom will take care of it." So, you see, God doesn't want you to work. How many know? Listen to what he says. "Come unto me, all you that labor." If you're over here on the law side, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." You're burdened down. It's just too heavy. It's too much for you. "I'll give you rest." Wow, does that sound good or what? Take my yoke upon you. Oh, do I have to? No. Take my yoke upon you. Because I'm gentle. I'm lowly. I'm humble about the thing. I'm not going to hurt you. As a matter of fact, my burden, it's easy. My load on you will be light. I'll take it all. I'll do it all. All you got to do is walk alongside me and take the presence. You get the blessing, I take the burden. Isn't that beautiful? That is a beautiful way to build your marriage. What kind of a God do we have? That's first chapter. It says God is, Jesus Christ is God. It's not like, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It's like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The kindness that you see in Jesus. So now, he comes and he says, "I want to marry you, Jim." "What? I want to buy you. I want to own you. I want to possess you." "Well, I'm a sinner. I sinned. How many know you can marry a sinner? Because Jesus said, he bought me while I was yet a sinner. He loved us. He said, put me on the table. He put me right here. Jim, I'm going to put you right here in my house. So Jesus buys me as is. That little tag on there, as is. Because it's like taking that out of the garbage heap right there. As is. And paid full price, too. Paid full price. Said, Jim, I've always, you know, when I was in heaven and the Father said, I want you to go downstairs and find yourself a girl. I've picked her out. I think you'll notice her when you see her. And so it was me. Praise God. Is it you? You know, whosoever will may come. So he's kind of open to anybody. Take him out of any nation, any tongue, any tribe, you know. He's not very choosy. He's no respecter of persons. So he just, you know, he picks you as is, sets you on his table right there, and says, I'll not only forgive all that are broken and the bad and all that stuff, but I'll fix them up, and they'll be like me when I'm done. Wow. Just spend some time in the presence of Jesus, and you'll be just like him. Isn't that amazing? Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. And so that is amazing. So he's purchased us as is, and then he just puts us right there. Says, okay, don't run out of the house now. Don't help. Just stay right there. Don't move. Don't do any good works. Don't ever do a good work. How faithful this church has been. Thank God. I'm telling you, other churches are not as fortunate as we are. They have people that are still struggling and striving to be good. Here, we don't even get started on it. Amen? Because we know God's forgiving and loving. How many know if you don't help God out, he won't do it? How many know that? He won't do it. He lies. He'll say he's going to work on you, but he doesn't. Has anybody noticed that? If you just do nothing, then he does nothing. Then if you do it, you have to give him the credit, as though he did it when you did it. Have you ever noticed that? No, the truth is, you can't do anything because he wants perfection. So you just got to be patient and wait on him. And you get impatient with other people. I know they get impatient with you. But don't. Just stop that right now. Just stop that. Let Jesus take care of it. Look, here's what he's saying. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. I love this. This is so good. Therefore, since Jesus is not an angel, he's better than an angel, and he's God, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, don't forget this. For if the word spoken by angels, which is this law thing, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. In other words, if you do wrong, sin, you're going to die. That's your payment. How then, if that's true of angels, how then should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation like this other one that Jesus has through a son, not an angel, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So that they also said, you know, I've believed in Jesus and it's been great. I trusted him and then he made promises to me and I believe that he couldn't lie. And therefore, I'm happy. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So once you accept that God is good, all kinds of wondrous things begin to happen. And I can say that. That has happened to me. All right. Jesus, then, has given us this good news. Says, Jim, you didn't do good over here. That's okay. I forgive you. I did it for you. Now I'm going to give you the same Holy Spirit. I'll get you perfected. Don't worry about a thing. Wow. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. All of a sudden, coming out of me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It is amazing. For a guy like me, that's like impossible. That is impossible. But I believe God can do the impossible. With man, that's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Well, here I am. And all I had to do was nothing. All I had to do was just trust him and believe him, and then he does all the rest. Is that not good news or what? That is good news. That is good news. I mean, we're not just saying it's good news. It is. It really is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Wow. That is a present active indicative. Wow. That is neat. So are you enjoying right now? Is everything going your way? No, you don't have to see it to believe it. How many know that seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing? If you believe it, then you see it. And I have. I have the perfect wife, the perfect church, the perfect enemies. I got everything's perfect with me. Everybody's just doing exactly what, you know, is really a blessing to me. How many know that you have all the blessings in heavenly places? How many have all the blessings? I mean, have all of them. You just got them all. Now, you don't see them all. You don't experience them all. Because the Bible says this. It doth not yet appear. So, you're not going to see it by sight. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. Which one is he? Is he the lawgiver or is he the gospel giver? You see, my kingdom, my house, my family, my life is built on promises, not commands. There are no commands. So I love my wife just the way she is. I have no commands for her. Literally, I don't have any commands. I mean, I do, but she doesn't listen to them. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I enjoy saying them anyway, just like God does. Nobody's doing them. Yeah, so I have lots of commands, but I just, you know, whatever Peg gives me, it's perfect. I just tell her that too. Peg, you're sweet. You're perfect. And she doesn't even agree with that, but I don't care. I think she's the perfect wife. Peg, you are the perfect wife. Amen. There's nothing you can do. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? And you know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? Wow. Are you all happy like I am? I mean, I don't mean just like faith. I mean, actually, you feel good. You just wake up in the morning. Woohoo! You just jump out of bed. You know, you don't just roll out, but you just jump out. Hallelujah. This is the day. Hey! This is... And then Peggy will say, Jim, go out in the other room. Well, this is the day. Peg, this is the day. And this morning was particularly obnoxious because I get up at 5. And it's particularly obnoxious because it was change of time and it was only 4. And so it was not good. Not good. But anyway. But then another thing she does is when I'm studying in there, because I'm reading the Bible, right? Praying, reading the Bible, studying for y'all. And then it comes time that I'm done, I'm ready, and then it's time for me to take a shower, and then Peggy wants to take one. Hey, you should have taken the shower earlier. I'm taking it. I'm the pastor. I need to get in there and get a shower. Go to the other one. Well, you can't turn them both on at the same time. There's a cold water in the one. Well, you should have done it earlier. I couldn't. I was studying with God. How many realize that real life isn't what it's cracked up to be? But with Jesus, everything works out great. And, you know what? I love life. Is anybody else here like me? You just love every moment of every second of every day. Why? Because of the promises of Jesus. It has nothing to do with what you experience. I don't care about what I experience. I don't care how it looks. I believe Jesus can't lie. I don't believe God can lie. Let God be true, every man a liar. Now, I can lie. He can't lie. So, listen to this. This is so great. This is so great. It's too good to be true. For unto the angels he hath not put in subjection the world to come. So, angels are not going to rule in the world to come. Whereof we speak, verse 6. But one, I think this is going to be the Father, in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? Oh, that could be King David. Oh, okay. What is man that thou, that's the Father, art mindful of him? In other words, why does God regard us? Why does God look at someone like me, someone like you, and why does he regard us? Why does he think about you? Did you know he thinks about you all the time? Even when I go to bed, he comes and he says, Jim, what are you doing? I'm asleep right now. I never sleep or slumber. I know. But you have to go to China now. But I'm sleeping. And he starts singing over me. He starts singing over me. Did you know that God sings over you every night? Are you aware of that? That's why you're safe, secure. Every night while I'm sleeping, he's singing. That's in the Bible. He sings. You know what he's singing? Jim, you're so precious. You know, stuff like that. I love it. So great. after, you know, hearing what the people have to say, it's nice to hear Jesus giving a different view on it. Jim, you are precious. I can hardly wait till you wake up in the morning. We can go out and I'll have more presents for you, more gifts, more wonderful things happening. Woohoo! I tell you, God is so good. Do y'all experience that? It's just one victory after another victory. He always leads us in triumph. I love it. I don't have a triumph, but he does lead you in a triumph at all times. That means there's victory all the time. How could you ever complain? How could you ever complain? So while you're sleeping, while you're awake, no matter what, it's always good. That is sweet. All right, here's some more. Here's some more. Now, it says here, or the Son of Man. So what's man that you should be mindful of him? Why do you look on him? Why don't you just cast him off? Or the Son of Man that you visit him. Now that's Jesus. Thou madest Jesus, him, a little lower than the angels. So when Jesus was created, not as God, because he's not created as God, but when he was created like one of us, thou crownest him with glory and honor. Why? And you set him over all the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things. The all is panta. The things is ta. Ta panta. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, all means all. That includes angels. That includes us. Everything's under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. So that means everything that is a thing is under him. Now I'm going to tell you something. Did you know that you're not? I said you were, but you're not. You were in your natural creation, but you've been a new creation. The minute he picked you, brought you into his house, as is, he swore an oath. I will not only forgive him all his sins, which I've already done, I will also perfect him. Wow. I'll be glorious. I don't know if anybody sees a little bit of glory today in me. Does anybody see a little bit? Judy, you do. Thank you. Praise God. I like it when you sit up close because I can always get an encouragement. Some of you others are sitting far away thinking, I don't know what you're thinking. But there's glory. There's glory right here. Woo! Because I'm the temple of the living God. Really, honest. But then, so are you. We are. Isn't that glorious? You can just look around and see the glory. I'm telling you, of course, yours and mine is borrowed. He's the vine, you're the branch. You know, he is the sun, we're the moon. I mean, the moon doesn't have any light. It's just a rock. But the light comes from the sun. Just like the juice comes out of the roots and the trunk of that tree, the vine, and we're the branch that's tied onto it, break us off, we don't have any life. We don't bear any fruit. But if you graft us right in, we got it. That's powerful. So, I have all the glory of Jesus. The only reason he has glory is because he has it. That's why he has it. But the only reason I have it is because he likes me. Not because I did anything. I did not. Not because I have any power. I don't. All that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness stuff, that's all a gift. That's one of those miracles stuff. It's just being with him, I now take on the hue. I take on the light. I take on the truth. I take on the power and the glory of the one that's married to me. I mean, that is neat that you can be in the Father's house just because Jesus, the Son, came out, found you, and said, I want to marry you. Boy, that was marrying down for Jesus. That was a down. Jesus, I think I could ruin your life. I've ruined everybody else. I think I could ruin your life. I'm good at it. I'm kind of natural at it. And he goes, No. I love you. Do you want me to clean up a little bit? I'd rather you didn't. Don't. I love you as you are. Don't fix. Now how many here will promise not to fix up? Let Jesus love you the way you really are. Because that makes a good marriage. One thing that's neat about our marriage is it has nothing going for it except Jesus. That's it. That's all we've got. Should people have to be perfect? That is, why should they have to look perfect? Why don't we treat each other by faith? Amen? Let's ignore. If somebody sins against us or they don't see our glory or whatever, just forgive them. Amen? Right? I do. I do. I don't care what you've done or thought or said. You're forgiven. Jesus forgave you, I forgive you. I don't want to be apart from Jesus. If he likes you, I likes you. Do you see that? Now, this is too good. I'm going to have to quit on this one. This is good. This is good stuff. I love this. Thou made him a little lower. Everything's put under his feet. Verse 8. Verse 9. But we see, we don't see everything put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. In other words, he had to be lower, made like us dirt people, in order to die. Crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So, if he was going to die for an angel, he would have to do it in an angel way. Because angels aren't made out of dirt. How many know angels are not made out of dirt? We were made out of dirt. And so when he made the dirt thing and held it up, it had no life in it, but he breathed into it. Boom, all of a sudden it was alive. That was how we got our breath of life. And so, but we're just dirt people. And in the end, we couldn't help but be dirt people. Even with all the laws piled onto us, it didn't help. At most, it made us hypocrites and liars, and then our snake came out when you weren't looking. But most of us just sinned. I did. Now, Jesus was made a little lower so he could die death because I sinned, and so he died. I sinned, he died. I sinned, he died. I sinned, he died. Now, he did that so that what? He could taste death for every man. I don't have to die. I'm not going to die. Oh, I can die physically, but I'm not dying spiritually. That second death thing is not... If you're born twice, you only die once. Amen? So Jesus Christ died so that you would never have to die. And the dying, you know, when you're a Christian, when you die, it's asleep. You just fall asleep. You wake up, you see Jesus. Hey, Jesus, where you been? It's just like, you know, when you're at night sleep, do you all have dreams? I mean, I do. I dream, you know, in color and all that. But I love my dreams. They're so fascinating and interesting. Of course, they're nonsensical. They don't make any sense at all. But every once in a while, they're pretty vivid. But that's neat. But Jesus said, falling asleep, you just wake up in my presence, and you'll be perfected. Wow. That'll be neat. So I have a new body. I'll look good. I don't look that good now. I will look good. I'm going to look good. I've always not looked good, so that's not a problem. But Jesus sees me the way I really am in his sight. Amen? You don't have to look good for Jesus. Some of you are ugly for Jesus, just like I am. It's not a problem. I could point them out. My little kids, when they were small, they would go through the Sears catalog or Penny's or whatever. She's ugly. She's not. She's ugly. She's not. You know, little kids do that. And they're working it out, what they think is beautiful. Because everybody thinks beautiful is better than ugly. But Jesus picks ugly. Amen? Do you all see that? He doesn't judge on the outside. He judges on the inside. And when he saw how ugly we were on the inside, what did he do? He came and died for us. Completely forgave that, then transforms us into his likeness and glory. I love the law when it's perfected in the gospel. You see, Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He came to perfect it, but look how he does it. He does it through faith, then the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we actually keep the law, but voluntarily, just like he did. Better way. That's why you'll be perfect when you get to heaven. That though you weren't, you now are. Though you were not, you are now. You am. He am, I am. I'll be just like Jesus. That made Lucifer unhappy. Lucifer rebelled. One third of the angels went with him when he saw that Jesus Christ was going to marry a dirt person and bump us up over the angels. You know, and if you weren't a normal angel with any self-respect, you wouldn't like it either. That person, a dirt person, how come they're being blessed? How come they're getting ahead of me? And so Satan just rebels on that. And angels only get one shot. So he was out. One third, go. The rest of them, they're permanent. Angels are permanent. So they're all staying because they like the idea that I would marry Jesus rather than them. They stayed in their place. They stayed in their office. They did not move. Is anyone offended that I'm going to be blessed? Thank you, Debbie. Say it again. I love it. Praise God. And I'm not offended that you're going to make it. I'm not. You see, you can't be offended. Count others better than yourself. Amen? I hope you all make it. I hope you all make it. I want you all to make it. Just try to emulate where I am. If you could just be like I am. No. No, that's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus Christ promises to make you just like Him. Higher. Higher than the angels. Angels used to be three, now they're four. We're three. But the rest of mankind is going down with the angels. They'll be five. They'll be five. You know that? You know why? Because they still thought they could please God on their own. They thought they were innocent and God was the guilty one who wouldn't pay them their wage. They thought, you know, if we behave ourselves, God owes us. No. God's never going to pay anybody. I don't want a wage. I don't want justice. That is, I don't want to get what I'm due. I want to get what I don't deserve. And it's His pleasure to give me the kingdom. This is good news. I think I've preached on it before, like every week. So why come? You know, if I'm just going to repeat this silly story every time, because I love this story. It's the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And you can't improve on it. There's nothing more you can say. If somebody doesn't believe in it, all you can do is repeat it. Just say it again. It's not, you don't improve on it. You don't say it better, different. You just say the same thing. Did you know that this is enough to save the entire world? The thing is, just for you to get a hold of how good this is, you are loved of God. You are unconditionally, Chuck, you are unconditionally loved of God. This is powerful. You didn't come here today. God brought you here today to tell you the truth that'll set you free. It's powerful. It's powerful.